less than a month till we go to Richmond to start Washington football team training camp. I cannot wait. You cannot wait. The days are passing, and then there's going to be football, real live football. I can't wait to get things going. We caught up with Moises Lunares. He calls Washington football team games for the Spanish language broadcast. He's also a friend. He does Channel 4 Sports. Everybody knows Moises. He's great, and he is fired up for this season. It's a really fun interview. Let's get to it.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase & Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase & Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What up, everybody? It's the Washington Football Talk Podcast. It's JP Finley and Mitch Tischler. Pete Haley on vacation in Cape Cod. We are about to talk to Moises Lunares. It's a really fun interview. We are brought to you by Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, want you to do the exact same thing. Check them out. Six locations, Northern Virginia. OrsmanVA.com is a website. Big man, how are you, buddy?
Doing great. Had a great 4th of July weekend. Played a little golf, had some crawfish, got to watch some fireworks. Perfect little weekend. How about yours?
It was good, man. I grilled and we watched some fireworks and, you know, it was family time, but it was a lot of fun. We're going to the Outer Banks next week, which I cannot wait for. Kind of unplug a little before training camp and the world starts grinding again. I don't know. Mitch, this will shock you. Training camp's going to be very busy. And I'm not sure I properly prepared my mental status for that.
The good thing about it is you have another 3 weeks to prepare yourself. You have some time down in the Outer Banks to unwind and chill and get your mind wrapped around what it's going to be. But yeah, it's going to be a busy, it's going to be a super busy 5-6 days in Richmond for everybody that works at NBC Sports Washington, NBC4, and the radio. The fact that you have to do all three is going to be wild, and it's going to be fun to watch, because at some point, like every training camp, we're all going to melt down and be frustrated. But it's going to be a show.
Definitely going to be a show. Shout out to my guy Mac and the Outer Banks, Mac Brothers Beach Setups. I can't wait to just sit on the beach in a chair with a tent and drink a beer. I very much look forward to that. If you guys are going down there, OBX Beach Setups on Instagram, they do a great job. They get y'all set up. They bring a cooler with ice every day. Big man, you know I love my ice.
Especially sitting on the beach with some high noons and grapefruit Tito's.
Yeah, perhaps a vitamin T does you well. Before we get to Moises, I wondered if there's anything that is top of mind for you as we get closer and closer to Richmond.
I mean, where as far as football on the field, I'm just ready to see them. It's going to be interesting in Richmond. The first couple of days are no pads based on NFL rules, so they're going to be in shells. I'm kind of getting myself geared up, and I know we're a month away, but super excited about seeing those guys in pads and do some hitting a little bit. We talked with Moises a little bit about Samus Reyes and him, you know, put on pads for the first time and getting hit. It's going to be fun to see these guys, Jaden Davis, when he actually is able to go run through somebody, watch it happen and see that athleticism in real time. But in the meantime, getting everything set up, figuring out all of our logistics and how NBC Sports Washington, NBC4 is going to
cover all this. You're excited about that?
You know what? It's great to be busy again. This time last year, we were praying to be able to do this stuff and we weren't able to. So I'm excited that we're going to be back in person interviewing folks and watching football and all that stuff.
Yeah, good luck with all of that. It's funny to me, man. This town is so crazy, and it's been happening since I was a child. But there's there's factions already forming, man. There's Fitz fever and there's the Heineke Hive, and I'm just hoping that Fitz plays well, because I have this vision of Heineke balling out in the preseason against second and third stringers, and the Heineke Hive just circling and getting louder and louder and louder. And I think this is Fitz's job by far. And it's going to be, That's my thing to watch. Enough from us. Go check out Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Want you to do the exact same thing. And let's go to Moises. Sound good with you, big man?
Let's go. Vamos. Let's go.
Vamos.
All right, it is a big-time pleasure to welcome back our friend, Mr. Moises Lunares, sports anchor for Telemundo, sports anchor for NBC. You do everything. DC United, Washington football team, you are all over the place. What's up, dude? Good to see you.
Hey, man, thank you for the invitation. It's been a while, so I'm happy to join you guys and talk sports. And, yeah, I mean, I try to do everything. I think over the years you just find new layers to the game and you try to what would be the correct word?
Multifaceted.
A Swiss Army knife.
There you go. A Swiss Army knife. I like that one. Yeah, that's what you try to be. And it's been a heck of a ride. It's been almost 10 years here in the DMV. So I'm still, I feel like it's day one.
That's awesome. Do everything you possibly can. Like have a million different, like have a blog, be all over social media, be a good editor, like all these different things, because you never know when you're going to need them all.
Yeah, I would say that's 100% correct, man. When I started my career and when I was in school, people used to tell me, you're going to have to learn how to do everything. So I did that. I learned how to edit. Here's the thing. I hated it. I hated editing. I hated, you know, doing something that, according to me, was not going to lead me in the path that I wanted to go into, which was I wanted to be in front of the camera. But I wasn't ready then. You know, I still needed to polish my game and get better and hone my skills. And the thing was that all the things that I hated are the things that I do now. So I didn't want to edit. Now I edit my own stories. I edit my own packages. So it's a big part of what I do every single day.
It's funny, Moises. I was kind of the opposite of you, where I never really wanted to be in front of the camera. And so I was doing all the behind the scenes stuff. And
baloney. You dude, never wanted to be in front of the camera.
Coming out of school, I still love shooting sports and football and stuff like that. Sorry, Pete. I didn't have real aspirations to be in front of the camera, but every once in a while you sneak in front of there, but you got to be able to do
it. I wanted to be like a serious Big J political reporter.
That's no way.
No way.
Political reporter. Wow.
Yeah, man. Wow. I had visions.
And now all you do is make fun of people who sit in front of a typewriter.
I met Mitch behind the camera. He was a cameraman when I met him. He was shooting all the football games, and I would run into him. I'm like, man, this is a big man right here.
It's my calling card.
All right. You guys got me?
We got you now.
Okay. Sorry, Moises. My internet sucks. My Zoom has been an S show for over a year now. Good old COVID.
Hey, you got to pay for good internet, bro. You got to upgrade.
I might have to. Well, dude, we wanted to have you on just to talk Washington football team. What you make of the offseason. You know, you called all the games in the last couple of years, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be my fourth season with the team.
That's crazy.
I've seen like this team. When I first got here back in 2012, I was able to experience the RG3, you know, that season and what it was to the fans. And it was amazing because I was coming into Washington, a team that had suffered so much. And you get to experience that and you start believing that, hey, it's going to be good from here on. So moving forward, it's going to be great. And then, you know, the following season, it just all went to, you know, where. So it was bad from that moment forward. It was just terrible. And I remember seeing the fans so upset, and every season, every first game of the season, they were excited. And by the middle of the season, it was all over. And as the years went on by, you know, you start seeing opposite fans just invade FedEx Field. And I hated it so much. I'm just like, why? Like, why are you selling your tickets? Like, if you don't want to be a fan, just like, get rid of your season tickets and let somebody else who really wants to be a part of this come on board. But I would say 2019 and then the pandemic were life-changing. I think 2019, I saw a few players that really were outstanding, like Matt Ioannidis, who I'm a big fan of. And then unfortunately, he gets injured. And then last season was just like, wow, I'm just happy we have sports back. But what was happening while we were not there was amazing, right? Like what Ron Rivera was able to do. And I had my doubts. I'm not going to lie to you. I had my doubts about Ron Rivera because there was a lot of things being said about him not able to make the not to adapt, not to make the changes. He had one style, and I was just like, is he the right fit? But he's like a general. He came in and he demanded change, and the guys have responded very well. And I think what he's doing is it's amazing in the time frame he's doing it. I think people and fans have to be aware that this is not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen overseas. And I think when we first were able to speak to Ron, one of my first questions is like, all right, so realistically speaking, how much time do you need? Because that's what we all want to know. And he said, hey, you know, 3 to 5 years, that's what it took us in Carolina. So we got to give it time. So this season, we're expecting improvement, but don't expect the Super Bowl. I mean, it would be amazing. I'm not saying it can't happen, but yeah, compete for the division and win that freaking game in the playoffs. I think that fans would be happy with that. They were happy with the way it ended last season because the team went all out and they left it all on the field. So I like what I see. I like the additions. I like that, you know, that Terry McLaurin is finally going to get some help. You know, that I think it's the biggest addition to the team, you know, having guys come in that can contribute on offense. We saw what the defense can do, and I think they're going to dominate. I think one of the reports that I read said that they're ranked, according to people, because this is not official, right? So ranked around 12 in the season as in roster wise. So that for me is very promising.
Yeah, I think that was Pro Football Focus ranked their roster 12th, and I believe 2 years ago, like when Ron started, they were 29th or 30th as far as the roster. I think the roster is the best it's been since Gibbs had that, you know, Santana, Portis, Cooley, Sean Taylor team. And that's the last team to also win a playoff game. I'm with you. I think the goal for this season has to be winning a playoff game. And I think there's multiple ways to do that. I think defensively they should be pretty good. I think a lot of it will be what the offense can do. Let's say the defense should be top five, certainly. And I think they should really compete to be the best defense in the NFL. But I think offensively, they've got to make a fairly, not a huge jump. I'm not saying they're a top 10 offense, any of that, but you got to get top 20. You'd love to be top half of the league. You'd love to be 16th, middle of the pack. I think if they can go that far, I think it'd be a big jump for them. A lot of that's going to start. You talked about Curtis Samuel, and, you know, I think Humphreys is going to help a lot. They've really, De'Ami Brown, they've really added to that receiving core, which was so bad last year. I've brought this up 100 times, but the fact that they broke camp with 4 out of 6 wide receivers or undrafted players last season is just unbelievable, really. I mean, to have that significant of a chunk of your roster at a skill position being undrafted is just wild. They've overhauled that, but it starts at quarterback. What do you think of Fitzpatrick?
Hey, he's a flip coin, man. I think he's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. He wants to win in the NFL. He hasn't been able to do that, you know, at the, you know, when we're talking playoffs. He's a great addition because he's a veteran and he can mentor guys who are going to come behind, and whether, you know, the team drafts the quarterback of the future in the next draft or not. But, you know, if he has a good offense, if he has the weapons, we've seen what he could do. We saw what he did in Miami when he was at his best. So I think that's a great addition. I think Ron didn't want to risk it because there's no rush to make that choice right now. And you see it because when you look, we're speaking of the front four, right? That defensive line that everybody talks about in the NFL. But what people forget is these guys have been playing together for 3 to 4 years. They just didn't come together last season like many people think. Like, hey, yeah, you brought in Chase Young, who was a plus, and then you had Monte Sweat, who was in his second year. But the other guys have been together for a while, so that's what makes it special. And you know that in order for you to be successful in any sport, you need chemistry, and these guys have it. So that's the reason why we're saying, hey, they're going to be top five in the league. It's not just because we're guessing. It's because we know they know each other, because they're hungry, because they have that camaraderie, they have that chemistry. But now you get Fitzpatrick multiple weapons, and you have guys like Logan Thomas, who for me was that diamond nobody talked about, nobody knew about. And you found the guy who contributed from the get-go. That's why I think this team is going to compete for the division, and they're gonna give anybody a tough time when on defense and on offense. I'm expecting the defense to dominate, but the offense is going to be a lot better than what they were the past couple of years. And aside from that, we are a month away from training camp. So, man, tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, the past few years when we talk about training camp ball, we're going to see now this training camp, somebody's getting cut. So, I'm trying to see, like, who's going to get cut, man? There's a lot of guys. Some of these guys can stay. There's so many. The wide receivers, for example, is Gandhi Golden going to stay? Is Kelvin Harmon going to come back better? And is he going to be the wide receiver we expected last year before he got hurt? So those are the questions that we are going to find out in training camp. And I believe this training camp will be the training camp we talk about for a couple of years.
Well, I think helps there'll be preseason games too. Go ahead, Mitch.
Yes.
It'll help that we can all watch training camp in person and the fans are going to be there and it's going to be cool. But we're talking quarterbacks a little bit and it's hard to hear your voice, Moises, without thinking about your Heinicke touchdown call from the playoff game last year. So here we sit in the middle of July.
Can you recreate that?
I can't, man. I know people asking. I can't.
Heinicke!
Pete, you got to drop that audio in.
Quiere meter a Washington a este partido nuevamente. Viene Heinicke, presionado Heinicke. Lo van a capturar, se escapa Heinicke. Sigue de pie, puede lanzar, utiliza las piernas. Viene Heinicke, se lanza. Está dentro. Touchdown. Washington lo hizo el 4. Heinicke utilizó las piernas, corrió a toda velocidad, se lanza.
By a play, but as a play-by-play announcer, it's just the momentum, and in any sport, I get to call soccer and football games. But for me, it's the buildup. Like you have to be able to read that play. And I'm looking at, if you're at the stadium, it's a lot different. But when you're in front of a monitor and you're trying to just kind of put together the play and see what's happening and calling it shot by shot, you know, I thought like this is the moment, and I'm always waiting for that one play. Because I feel like every game has that one play, whether it's that touchdown by Heinicke or Chase Young sack and he runs it back, you know, for a touchdown. It's always about the momentum and executing. Don't get me wrong. There's been moments where I just butchered it and it just did not happen the way that I planned it to. But I try to always make up for it. And I think that was just a very special moment for me as a play-by-play announcer. But it also... It was a moment of recognition because I felt, you know, sometimes you feel like, dude, like, yeah, I'm coming here. I'm over here calling great plays, but none of them get recognized. None of them, like, people don't notice. I've been pushing the team like, yo, we need to push the Spanish broadcast, you know, on social media so fans could see that, you know, we have a Spanish broadcast team. And for me as a bilingual sports anchor, it's important to be able to swim in different waters. And for me, I'm getting sidetracked with the comment, but now that you're on it, it's just like my goal has always been to be the top, you know, bilingual sports journalist in the country. There's a few guys who are amazing, who do multiple sports, who do football, who do baseball, and they do play-by-play for those sports. So for me, it's like I'm trying to follow in their footsteps. And the Washington football team has given me that opportunity. They were the first team that opened their doors to me. As in, hey, you know, I want to interview this guy or that guy. And they were like, sure, because nobody else was doing it in Spanish. But from that, I was able to hone my bilingual skills and meet a lot of these guys. So last year, I wasn't able to be at camp or be at the in
Ashford. You got to go to games, right?
I did not because they didn't want us.
So the Heinicke call, you weren't in the stadium?
I was in front of a monitor, dude.
That was a home game. What the hell?
Yeah, I know that we were not able to call any home games. Yeah, we were not able to call it from the stadium.
That's crazy.
For COVID reasons.
What's wild about the Spanish language broadcast?
Mitch was there.
Yeah. What's wild about the Spanish language broadcast, though, for our folks that are listening, is that whether you understand the language or not, the enthusiasm is infectious, and it's so much fun to listen to. I don't speak enough that I understand every word that you say, but... You can feel the enthusiasm. It's so cool to listen to. I love it.
Mo, listen to this. Yeah. D-Mitch was telling me this. I don't know how he landed on it, and he doesn't know how he landed on it, but he watched – who did Brazil just play in the Copa America?
Peru?
Yeah. No, I thought it was Ecuador, whoever. He said he watched the whole game on the Spanish broadcast, and he didn't even kind of realize it, but he said – watching soccer with the Spanish broadcast, he enjoyed way more than the English broadcast. And I don't think Mina speaks a lot of Spanish. I don't.
No, it's the emotions, dude. It's the passion. And that's some of the passion that you try to translate. I mean, dude, you've had them too, but you have the negative comments. And I've been told, like, oh, you're calling this game like that. And I'm like, no, I'm not. If you listen to the game, I don't call it like a soccer game. Because when I call a soccer game, it's always I'll give you an example. Soccer game is just the pop, 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 pop. And then it speeds up and it speeds up and it speeds up. And then you call a goal. In a football game, it's not like that. You're trying to see the plays. You're trying to see if players are moving. Where are my tight ends? Where are my wide receivers? You know, what formation are you running? And that's the difference. But when you have a touchdown call, a play for a touchdown, you try to add that extra, gear, and you try to spice it up in order for you to make it enjoyable and everlasting, like that Heineke touchdown.
So one thing I wanted to ask you about, two things. You said, Ron, 3 to 5 years, he's got to take his time. That's why it's okay to go with Fitzpatrick this year, and maybe Heineke competes and we'll see all that. How long does that last until he's got to find a quarterback and you've got to address quarterback
this year? This year, I think that's it. I won't give him any more. I mean, I don't believe in the 3 to 5 years. I mean, that's my personal.
Hell, next year will be 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. Like after this year, like we need to see something. Like, all right, what's the plan long term for that position? Because we all know here that Washington has struggled with the quarterback position for years.
And you
have to address that. Like now, like if you're coming in with a change, and if you're the guy who's going to change, and I believe he is, then you have to address it. It's time. You didn't go for a quarterback this season. You could have moved up. You decided not to because you didn't want to give up. I mean, they made a few moves, or at least they intended to look for a quarterback in the offseason, and it didn't happen. But after this year, then you have to start thinking, all right, what are we going to do in that position? Because you don't want to waste some of these guys. You know, these guys are still under their rookie contract. So what happens when Terry McLaurin's available in the market and he wants to get paid more money? You know, then are you going to be able to afford a quarterback? So I think you start thinking about that now. Not this year, but the following season, after this offseason coming up, you start thinking, like, what are we going to do in that position?
Well, you talked about 2012 with RG3 and, your first year there. Is there any – last year wasn't the same firecrackers that 2012 was, but do you have any fear that there could be a regression like we saw in 2013 after the highs of RG3?
I think we didn't realize that even though they had some weapons in that 2012 team, it was a lot of smoke. And we didn't – we didn't figure that out until later on. We're like, all right, then we've been fooled. You got us. But this team, they have all the elements to be successful. Like, there's no way. Like, even if it's just on defense, you're like, last season was all defense. And, the flashes of Terry and Antonio Gibson. We haven't even spoken about Antonio Gibson. So that's another guy. But last year was just like, man, this defense – I'm scared to just see these guys. Like, everybody was showing them respect, and we know that Washington wasn't the best team in the league, right? But they had one of the best units on the defensive side. So now this year, I'm just like, all right, now they know they're capable of a lot more. Now they believe, which this team hasn't been able to do in many years. They've said it, but they weren't able to execute and say, hey, you know what? We have what it takes to be successful in the league. I think the NFC East right now, they're trying to figure out how are we going to beat Washington? When was the last time you heard anybody say that? So that's the thing. Like, we're talking
defense
about
Cowboys. Man.
Yeah. Dak Prescott and him and his extension. And the Cowboys are loaded on offense, but defense wins games. So for me, it's like, now that you've added the pieces on offense, all right, I think the NFC is Washington's to lose. So they're scheming to see how they're going to come up, and beat Washington. I don't see it happening. I think they get out of the division with the title once again, and they're going to win that first playoff game. And from that point forward, anything can happen. So,
yeah, I largely agree with you. I do have a little bit of, I don't know if worry is the right term, but maybe just some hesitation to be like, that boisterous in my claims, because you look at the quarterbacks that were on the field in the games they won, and they got hot late in the year. I don't know that they beat the Bengals if Joe Burrow doesn't get hurt, Ryan Finley was god awful when he came in. Ben DiNucci was god awful. The version of Ben Roethlisberger they played, not Andy very Dalton. Good. Andy Dalton, who the hell started for the Niners when they played San Fran? Nick Mullins, was that the guy's name?
Mullins, yeah.
Like, dude, would they have beaten the Eagles if they didn't pull Jalen Hurts for Nate Sudfeld?
Jalen Hurts had thrown for 70 yards through three quarters.
I know, yeah, but he had run for another 75. That's
a fair point.
To your point about calling games, like, you got to try to look at both sides of this. There's so much reason for excitement, but a lot of these dudes they beat are backups at best.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, but let me ask you this. Then who was Washington's quarterback last season?
Totally valid.
I mean, last 3 years, they've gone through a billion quarterbacks.
The last two seasons, they've had like 10 quarterbacks. So I'm just like, I get what you're saying. It's true. And that's why the initial point was that the defense was the one that led this team. But
totally.
That Washington has had a lot of problems in that quarterback position, but the last 2 years have been a disaster. Like, not that's one guy that's has why been I able think to.
If the offense can be better, like, if you here, I've said this before and I mean it. If Ryan Fitzpatrick can start all 17 games for you, you'll have double-digit wins. Because that means, one, he stays healthy. Two, the level of quarterback play is good enough. You're not forced to make a switch. And we haven't seen that. We haven't seen health or a level of quarterback play good enough that you're not forced to make a switch.
You think he's going to stay healthy the whole season? I don't think so.
Health hasn't been his issue. He's just got benched for younger guys. Which is also bad. Like, we're trying to talk ourselves into all this stuff. Like, I know that they put Tua out there and it was because they drafted him, needed to see what they had, but he was still, he wasn't playing at that elite of a level that they couldn't bench him. And the year before with Josh Rosen stinks and they pulled him. So
the quarterback play here has stunk. He doesn't have to play at an elite level. He just has to play at an average NFL quarterback level, and that will feel like elite quarterback play for Washington.
Like, if he can deliver B-minus quarterback play in 80 out of 100, I think they can win double-digit games.
And he gets degrees, my friend.
I even think he can play at a 77 and get there. I hope he can do it. Right, and the 17th game doesn't make things any easier. It's gonna be a longer year. They play a lot of really good teams.
Well, they're gonna have the division wrapped up, and he's gonna be able to sit week 17, so you know that.
That is certainly one theory, big man. But my last thing I wanted to ask you, just because it's such a cool, unique story, have you gotten to know or gotten to speak with Samus Reyes at all?
Initially, when he was first announced, I was on that because he's from Chile. So I had people from South America hitting me up and asking me, but I think it's still, we still have a conversation pending on a one-on-one level. I like his story. I mean, I hope that he makes it. I hope he makes the team and, you know, he becomes a star like we've seen other people do in this league. I think he has the tools to be successful in the NFL, but yeah,
he's just got to learn football.
He has an incredible story.
I just thought that'd be cool for you to do I imagine when you do DC United, you get to talk to players. Some of those conversations are in Spanish, right? I just think it'd be cool to do an NFL interview in Spanish.
Yeah. Like you don't have many opportunities to speak to these guys in Spanish because there's not a lot of guys. There is a few guys out there, you know, that speak Spanish, but you don't come across them very often. So it's cool to have a guy who speaks Spanish in the Washington football team. So yeah, before it's all said and done, I'm hoping that I get an opportunity to talk to him on a one-on-one.
Yeah, and then he makes the
team. I think that would be very cool.
Making the team could be tricky. I think you got Logan Thomas, obviously, and then I think John Bates is a damn near lock, the kid they drafted. And Reyes, watching him at OTAs and minicamp and stuff, athletically he's off the charts, but there's still a lot to learn about football, I think. And think about this. He's never been hit. Like, he's never been tackled. So that's going to add a whole nother wrinkle to all of this.
Or he could just be a bulldozer because he's so athletic and so strong.
He's never been tackled, but he's also never lowered his shoulder and dropped a linebacker. And maybe he's just capable of doing that, and this thing hits the ground running. So, yeah, I was just thinking for, like, your first preseason game of the Spanish language broadcast, how cool would it be to have a Spanish interview, like, for your pregame? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be amazing. I mean, I'm going to work on that to see if we make that happen. But if he doesn't make the team, at least, you know, keep him in the practice squad and see if he can develop. And you could, if you can develop him into a good tight end, maybe he's a project. Maybe next season is his season. I mean, we've seen other guys, you know, hang around and become stars. So I think he has potential. We could, yeah, you're right. He might not make the team, but he might need time. That's the reason why it sucks that, you know, the NFL doesn't have like a development league where you can send all these guys to the plate. So that would be pretty cool. Like the NBA, yeah, right?
Right. The roster machinations are going to be tricky because they signed him to a real contract, which means to put him to the practice squad, he'd have to clear waivers. And I think based on the excitement and interest level in his workout, that they can't cut him or they're going to lose him. So I think if a couple of weeks into training camp and maybe preseason game and they realize he's not ready, I think he could get injured and they place him on the IR so that he has a roster spot so that he stays with the team. I think you might have to get creative to make sure you keep him. Cause I think the long-term potential's just through the roof. It just might take a little bit of time. I don't want to hold you up too much. It's early in the morning. Mitch, you go ahead. If you got anything.
One more real quick one just for you, Moises. We talked about all this stuff locally that you're doing, but there's kind of this huge international competition that's coming up called the Olympics. What are you going to be doing out there? What are you going to be doing with NBC out there?
Man, I'm already breaking. I've been studying for half a year, man. I've been studying since January. I began studying when they told me I was going in 2019. Around November, I started getting ready, and then, you know, it got postponed. But I'm going to be the correspondent for all the Telemundo stations from Tokyo, and then I'll be popping in and out of the NBC coverage as well. As if they need me, I'm there. So that's what I'm going to be doing. I leave next week, next Friday the 16th. I'm out heading towards Tokyo. I'll be out there for almost a month, so I'm looking forward to that. I think it's probably the biggest assignment, and I've done a lot of cool stuff in my career, but the fact that, you know, I was chosen to go and cover the Olympics, it's something different. It's something that I have never done. And I'll tell you something else that you guys probably don't know or haven't heard or you're going to see pretty soon. I actually just finished writing a book.
Congrats, man. That's awesome.
That's something that it's still going through. It's going through the pipeline. You know, it has to be approved by NBC Universal. And we're hoping that happens soon. And if it does, then in September, we should be dropping that book, which is pretty much talks about how my family migrated from Central America to Los Angeles and how I came up the ranks and got to TV and became a bilingual sports anchor. So it's a lot of good stuff for like the younger journalists who are trying to make it in the business, or for other bilingual kids who share a similar story of their parents coming or immigrating to the U.S. looking for a better future. So yeah, man, I'm gonna hand you a copy soon, JP. And Mitch,
dude,
when it's said and done, man. I mean,
that's exciting.
First, let's cross our fingers and hope that it's approved and there's no issues, and we can move forward with that. But yeah, that's been one of
the. There will always be lawyers, Mo. There will always be lawyers, man.
The Olympics and the book are like the two biggest things. So I mean, in Tokyo, I just hope to represent both Telemundo and NBC.
What's your schedule gonna be like in Tokyo? Because it's like, are you live?
Yes, I'm live for half for the early shows. For the late shows, I'll be pre-recorded because it's just too late and I need to be up and ready to cover some of the events. So yeah, I'll be doing like the story of the day, pretty much. Whatever happens during the day, stories of interest regarding like the sports, right? Whether it's gymnastics, whether it's swimming or track and field. If you ask me what my favorite sport is when it comes to the Olympics, I would say track and field. That's the one that I go to.
It's the best.
But these Olympics, man, there is a few sports that we've never seen before. And the one that really gets my attention, it's break speed dancing? Climbing. No, that's speed the next climbing? Olympics. Speed no. climbing, dude.
Speed climbing?
What the hell does that even mean?
It's like, you know, like you run the 100 meter race. Well, you yeah. do the same thing while climbing. I don't know if it's 100. I think it's like 50 meters or 25. But they're just going up really fast, like spiders.
Like up, like rock climbing?
Yeah, rock climbing. Yeah. But it's a race. It's a race. Rock climbing race, but it's like speed climbing. So they're just going up. It is rock climbing. That's crazy.
Big man, I'll challenge you in speed climbing.
You're on. We'll get Moises to call it for us.
I'll call it.
Well, thank you. Congratulations on all the success, man. I can't wait to see you live from Tokyo. And I guess you'll miss Richmond. Poor guy. You don't get to go to yeah. Richmond. You'll
be oh, shit. Tokyo instead of yeah. Richmond.
But we'll catch up soon. Dude, I don't know who's in charge, but you should absolutely be back at least at FedEx calling these games.
I think the season we're back for sure. This okay. season we're back. All right. It was a one season thing. Like I've asked that too. Even last year was a big deal, but I understood and the team understood that under COVID guidelines in the pandemic, we had to take all the sure. right steps. And you know, you have to respect the hierarchy. And this season it's gonna be a different story. Like there's no way I'm not calling the game from home. So I mean yeah, I would even want I even want to travel, dude. I want to go to Vegas. I want to go to Vegas. Yeah. I want to go to Philly and I want to go to Dallas and call games. You heard the Spanish guys for the Dallas Cowboys?
Dude, no, they call it from inside wild. The box.
Yeah, I know. You're very loud.
Last question. Sorry. Did you just say you want to go to Philly? Nobody in the world wants to go to Philly.
I just want to go to call the game. Like if the game is okay. nearby, that's fine. I want to go to have
but,
that.
But let's be clear. Nobody in the world wants to go to Philadelphia. Thank you.
Nobody wants to go to Philly. Yeah.
Boys, yeah, as long as the powers that be let it happen, there's an extra seat in my car. You can hop in. We'll ride up and take care of it all up there.
I like it. I'm down for that.
Mo, thank you for the time. Tell everybody, what's your Twitter? I follow you. M. Linares?
M. Linares, D.C.
Okay. Everybody go follow him on Twitter. Live updates from Tokyo coming soon. A new book. You got a lot going on, man. Congrats. Good to talk to you.
Appreciate it. All right, man. Take care, guys.
All right. Thanks for coming
see
on.
See you, man.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.